Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
First new message.
Hey, Mike, it's Wally. I'm just looking at those plants right now, and they really got it bad. I don't know where it came from. Who knows? But I don't know if they're going to be worth saving, to be honest with you. You can try some of that Green Cure. You want to spray it in the evening when it's a little cooler outside or something like that, but those plants are in bad shape. Probably somebody in the neighborhood caught a real bad case of powder mildew and it's just floating around in the neighborhood. Plus those earth boxes, I think that's a humidity type thing where the water rises up from the inside of the box and it creates an extra humid environment for the plants, which is good in a way, but then again, too, you know, something like this happens. So I'll talk to you soon.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. And true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Now here's the man who's greening your world one kilohertz at a time, Mike Novak.
One more time.
You know, we call that phone call at the top of the show, that's the evil Wally. He's gone from
doctor to evil.
He's the evil Dr. Wally.
Okay, so he'd be the Mr. Hyde Wally. So we have Dr. Wally and then now Mr. Hyde Wally.
I guess something like that. But what we're talking about there, folks, is the heartbreak of powdery mildew.
Yes.
Dun, dun. Heather calls me this. Well, sends me an email this week. She sends me these photos. Did you take those off your camera?
No.
Your phone,
well,
rather?
One of my lovely coworkers had the high-tech camera on his phone,
oh,
and he snapped them for
okay.
us, Mr. Carroll.
Because I forgot to bring my camera today.
Yeah.
But we've got them. Anyway, so Heather sends me these photos of our zucchini out in the back, and the leaves are covered with these lovely white spots. And I look at it, and I go, oh, that's powdery mildew. I'm pretty sure. Let's send a picture to Wally. So I sent him to Wally. He gives me that phone call yesterday.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun. It's just,
that plant's going to die, isn't it?
let's do this again.
Can we even save it?
Let's do it real quick.
First new message.
Hey, Mike, it's Wally. I'm just looking at those plants right now, and they really got it bad. I don't know.
Evil Dr. Wally.
Who knows, but I don't know if they're going to be worth saving, to be honest with you.
No!
You can tell that,
Wally, no!
You want to spray it in the evening when it's a little cooler outside or something like
those
that.
Those plants have zucchinis on them.
I know. I want the zucchini. I want to make zucchini bread.
Probably somebody in the neighborhood caught a real bad case of powder
mildew. Yeah, don't even worry. We're in a parking lot. We're in asphalt and concrete.
There are only weeds that are close by that are the survivors that come up through the cracks in the asphalt, which I always kind of root for in their own right because they're really surviving hard.
Yeah, those plants. But, you know, powdery mildew, obviously.
Close.
And Lori Lewis is in the studio, too. Just jump in any time, Lori.
Why don't you take one of those bathroom cleaning products that are good for mildew around the tub?
Oh, give me a...
Ripe them on the leaves so you can save the...
So we can watch the whole thing turn yellow and die.
Oh. Don't say that. People listen. Yeah. Okay. They will actually do that.
No, that'll kill your plant.
That's a problem with radio, Lori. You got to be careful what you say because people will go out and do it. If I said, take some chocolate, rub it on the leaves and it'll fix it. People
chocolate generally fixes everything.
Well, it
so,
does. Well, actually,
that's a little more plausible for me.
We only talk about scientifically proven methods, so don't try it at home.
So, yeah, we're experts. We can.
And so, what are we going to do to it?
We're looking at a couple of options. I got one right behind me. The
this is from the Espoma folks.
Yeah, we're going to try their 3-in-1. I was talking to
kills fungus, insects, and mites.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 100% natural and safe.
And we're looking at the fungus.
Fantastic.
So we're going to give that a go.
We're looking at the fungus.
Yeah. Well, so might
dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun. So we'll give that a go. But, I'm investigating things. And by the way, some of you may have powdery mildew out there. Have you experienced any? You grow mostly ornamentals, right, Lori?
Yes, yes. But this has been a tough season for, we've had a lot of rain, high humidity, and plants that are mildew resistant, keyword resistant, have not been resistant.
Really?
So
even the resistant ones are succumbing this year.
You know, some of the phlox, which the Monarda, which are famously known for their mildew.
They're mildew magnets is what they are.
Yeah, but it's, you take a little more effort in terms of trying to clean up some of the leaves, especially the ones that are falling on the ground. And, and air circulation is the best
which
thing.
Which is why I'm a little surprised here. Maybe we need to pull it out from the wall a little bit. But I figured the parking lot's really kind of wide open. It's in an earth box. It's not like it's surrounded by so many plants. I mean, there's a couple in the earth box there. But maybe we just need to pull it out from the wall, give it just a little more air circulation. That's part of it. I'm looking at the Cornell University site where they say the symptoms usually appear late in the growing season on outdoor crops. Well, this is not late. This is early in the growing season. The fungus is favored by periods of high relative humidity or site conditions that promote a more humid environment, such as close spacing of plants, as Lori said, densely growing plants, or shade. Indoors, symptoms may occur, and yes, you can get it indoors, too. Isn't that lovely? symptoms may occur at any time of year, but the rate of spread and development will be affected by the relative humidity and temperature. And, of course, we've had some very high relative humidity. So, by the way, that's Lori Lewis from the Sheffield Garden Walk. He's here to talk about that. You're the president, co-chair, actually, of... what exactly? I don't have it in front of me.
Co-chairman of the Garden Walk, as well as head of beautification for the Sheffield neighborhood and former president. And a master.
So you're not the pres now?
No. After 2 years, I had better things to do.
But you're still the guy who pretty much runs the... That must keep you awake nights all year long thinking about how the Sheffield Garden Walk is going to come together.
Well, it's so we start about 10 months in advance, and all the planning, it's our 42nd year, we're always tweaking things and trying to improve things, and it all boils down to weather.
Yep.
And like, for example, last night we had the rain. I think it started at around 6:30 or 7, just horrific downpour, and then again at 9 o'clock, and that's the prime time, especially for the festival portion of the Garden Walk.
So you were out there last night saying, "Don't you do this next week? Don't you do this?"
It's interesting. In the heat, people will show up, but in the rain, they simply
cool, they will show up as long as it's not raining. And you guys kind of proved that last year because you had some of the coolest temperatures ever for
mid-60s during the day.
Yeah.
That was fun, though. I went.
And that's another reason you're here is because if I didn't bring you on the show, Heather would never speak to me again because you got her backstage passes last year.
He did.
That's right.
It was
she was able to get autographs, things like that.
Oh, yeah. I was on the bus. I got on the band's bus. I was interviewing them about their gardens in New Orleans. Sadly, though, the recorder I had was broken, and I was unaware of this, so none of the audio was salvageable. And it was good.
It's only radio, so what do you need audio for?
I know! That one, I have nightmares. Like, I'll wake up with tears in my eyes and be like, oh, I don't want to go back there.
But seriously speaking, we were our 42nd year. We did start out as a garden walk, and we are still a major garden walk. And we have close to 100 gardens on display. And Mike was one of the judges this year for the jury division of gardens. And Mike was quite impressed when we went out touring and judging with some of the gardens this year. And
don't put words in my mouth, pal.
I want to see the gardens this year, actually.
I
want to go on a tour of the gardens for sure.
Oh, see,
because I didn't get photographs of that. I got photographs of the festival, and when I posted them to my Facebook, I had a few people going, "Where's the garden?" And I'm like, "Ooh, that's a really good point."
I took a bunch of pictures. I guess they didn't make it to the website. Sometimes I just turn it over to Kathleen, and she'll yell at me because she'll say, "You said you didn't want him up there." I thought I had pictures of you and John Escondari from Gethsemane Garden Center and Bill Aldrich from who used to publish Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, and we were all judges. And I took a bunch of pictures that day. Where I know which one. Wait, is that on the homepage? Hold on. Let's go back to my homepage, MikeNovak.net. No, Kathleen, we need the ruby slippers. That's the one picture I wanted, the ruby slippers. We've got to have that on the home page.
There's no place like home.
I know it. And that was one of the great little treats of the garden, the gardens we judged.
Someone put ruby slippers?
And they had moss on the inside.
Oh, how like the witch, like all curled up under the house?
No. They're the ruby. You'll see when you see the picture. I have Kathleen. I hope she's listening and will post that. I want the ruby slippers because what people do in their garden, sometimes you think of a garden and you think of the overall look of a garden, the color and the sweep of the line, but sometimes it's the details that really impress you. And in this particular garden where they had the ruby slippers, there was a lot of detail.
What's interesting, and I think what happens in the Sheffield neighborhood, most of your lots are typically 25 by 125, small urban lots. And it doesn't leave a whole lot of space for gardening. So I think many times people can really be creative. And this one contestant was very creative in coming up with this idea and actually put these slippers on the parkway, which people quite often...
Right under the tree, right at the base of a tree.
Quite often people figure, well, the parkway is not my property, therefore I'm not going to do anything with it. And it's really, you know, the average person doesn't know that. And it really is the gateway to someone looking at your house from the street. And this woman did a lot of interesting little things on her parkway.
That's Lori Lewis from the Sheffield Garden Walk. We got a lot of stuff on the show today, way too much, actually. Lori's going to be here all day. If you have a garden question, any kind, whether it's about powdery mildew, don't use the bathroom products Lori was telling you about earlier. He was kidding. He was
being facetious.
Yanking your chain. But if you have any kind of a garden question, the experts are in today, and we will answer them to the best of our ability. 773-838-9278. Also on the show today, Woody Olson from the Dearborn Garden Walk. You know where he is right now. He's on that other station.
Is no other station.
That other gargantua radio down the dial, because you know it's not good when the publicist you tell the publicist when you want somebody on your show and the publicist says, "Oh, well, he's going to be on that other program at that time." can we put it a little later? Sure. But Woody Olson from the Dearborn Garden Walk will be here as well. Dan Costa in just a couple of minutes, president of the Prairie State Bonsai Society. I almost said it wrong. And I've been schooled on it. It's not bonsai. That's what you yell when you jump out of an airplane. It's bonsai. Dan Costa will be, and he's a great contributor to this program always. Rick DeMaio weather at 8:30. I'm going to ask him why I got powdery mildew. I don't know. No, actually, what I'm going to ask him is, Will, and Lori wants to know this, what's the weather like next week? Because in addition to the Sheffield Garden Walk, the Dearborn Garden Walk, my radio show is broadcasting live from Millennium Park a week from today. I'm very excited about this.
I am too. It's going to be next week's going
to We're going to talk
rule.
To Mary DiCarlo from the Tree Fund in about half an hour. It is the 2010 Steel Tour de Trees live from Millennium Park with the Mike Novak Show. Chuck Lavelle will be on the program next week. The keyboardist from the Rolling Stones for the last 30 years, the Allman Brothers, you know his stuff. I'm going to play some of his stuff. Worked with Clapton. He's going to be on my program. I'm turning into a rock and roll
you
guy
are?
Here.
I don't know if it's me rubbing off on you or you rubbing off on me or... Rock and roll meets roses. It's kind of scary, just like the garden walk.
Something like that. What else? Ad Malloy from Neptune's Harvest is going to be here. Nina Neuhauser from Andersonville Green Week. Oh, my goodness. We got so much going on. We need to get right to it. And as I just mentioned, what are you doing next Sunday morning? The Care of Trees invites you to come out to Millennium Park to be part of a special broadcast of the Mike Novak Show. The 2010 Steel Tour de Trees launches from the park at 10 a.m. as dozens of cyclists head out on a six-day trip to the Mississippi River and back to raise money for tree research and education. A group called the Tree Fund is behind the effort. Go to treefund.org. And they're proud to say that this is America's largest fundraiser for tree research. Now in its 19th year, the event has raised more than $4 million for tree research and education. I'm proud that the Care of Trees is sponsoring my broadcast, along with the Davey Tree Care Experts. And my special guest will be Rolling Stones keyboardist and world-class tree farmer. That's the part you probably didn't know. He's a world-class tree farmer, Chuck Lavelle. I hope you'll come to Millennium Park to join us for the Tour de Trees kickoff and celebration on July 18th at the regular showtime, 8 to 10 a.m. See, it doesn't interfere with the Sheffield Garden Walk at all. So, meanwhile, when you need tree help, go to thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees is a proud sponsor of the 2010 Steel Tour de Trees. Here's Dr. Wally's tip of the week, the evil Dr. Wally, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Wally, as you know, isn't a certified doctor. Don't ever ask him to take your blood pressure. But he does know his plants, and you heard his comments about our poor zucchini plant in the WCPT parking lot farm at the top of the show. Dr. Wally's diagnosis, powdery mildew. His recommendation, well, here's one of them. He knows these great products. One is Green Cure, a potassium bicarbonate-based fungicide that has been proven to cure and prevent powdery mildew, black spot, downy mildew, blights, molds, and other diseases. It's available at Pesci's, of course. Green Cure's active ingredient, potassium bicarbonate, a naturally occurring compound that is widely used in food and is an integral part of humans, animals, plants, and virtually all living organisms. Wally also has another bit of advice. If you're going to use horticultural oils to keep diseases from attacking your plants, make sure you don't apply them when the temperatures are higher than the low 80s. In hot weather, oils can be destructive to your vegetables and ornamentals, which is why I always tell you, before you use any horticultural product, read and follow label directions. That's, Lori, what master gardeners do, don't they?
Absolutely, Mike.
It's just, you try to tell people, read the stuff, don't guess. And know what you're treating as well, which is always an important thing.
That's usually the first problem. People don't know what they're treating. They just see something, well, it's not a green leaf without any brown spots on it, without any little holes in it. They just have no idea.
Yeah.
So they just think, okay, more is better.
Yep, that's the American way. If some is good, more is better.
Correct.
Family-owned since 1924, Pesci's is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road, one block north of Rand Road in Des Plaines. Visit them online at Pesci's.com. Chuck. That, of course, is Chuck Lavelle on the ivories there.
Oh.
From Clapton Unplugged.
I remember that was new.
I found somewhere online that said that this is one of Chuck's three favorite contributions to songs in his career. And I'll play the others later during the show. So, by the way, we will be giving away the final pair of Chuck Lavelle ticks for his benefit.
That'll be wonderful. Well,
Laura, you're going to have to help me come up with a pretty tough question, garden question for people, so we can give away those ticks later on.
Okay.
This is the Mike Novak Show. Laurie Lewis from the Sheffield Garden Walk is in studio with me today all day, answering your questions, 773-838-9278. We got a ton of guests. One of them is on line one right now, and that's my buddy Dan Costa from Vern Goer's Greenhouse in Hinsdale. How are you, Dan?
Pretty good, Mike. Good to be on.
Good to have you here. You've got the bonsai hat on.
Yes.
And one of the funny things, actually Dan and I chatted yesterday, and I had a confession. Oh, I've got a bonsai plant at home, and I'm actually keeping it alive. And and he says that's the first step toward complete, I don't know.
Bonsai disease.
Bonsai disease.
Bonsai-itis.
Yeah. I have a Carmona or Fukien tea plant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's actually doing very, very well.
Good.
It's very happy. And I can see how this could become a little bit addictive.
Sure can.
And that's why you guys are having your show next Saturday. And so, you know, everything is going on next week, Dan. You know what you're competing with. You got a bunch of garden walks. You got the Andersonville Green Fest. You got my radio show down in Grant Park. There's everything's happening next week.
Yeah, but none of those others have beautiful bonsai trees.
Well, if I bring my Carmona to Millennium Park, we will have it there.
Then you can send people from your show to our show.
I'd be happy to. You know, I'm going to tell them that head out to the Morton Arboretum, because really all it costs to get in there is the price of parking, right?
Right. There's no extra charge for our show. It's free. And we will have a nice display of trees that are owned by our members.
Mm-hmm.
A whole room full of beautiful bonsai they can see. We have demonstrations going on, three each day. I started off on Saturday morning. And there'll be someone from the club or one of our visiting masters working on a stock material and turning it into the beginnings of a bonsai, which is kind of interesting to see. And we'll also have workshops going on, which are things that people pay to get into, and vendors selling bonsai materials. And one thing that we do every year that's kind of popular during the show, with the tree, the members' trees that are on display, we have the people that come in vote for their favorite. And so then whoever gets the most votes gets what we call the People's Choice Award. And a picture of their tree goes on the homepage of our website, which is www.prairiestatebonsai.com.
And I also happen to have a link to the Prairie State Bonsai Society page on MikeNovak.net this week. If you go to this week's show, the link is there.
Mm-hmm.
And your smiling face, of course.
And so you go on ours and you can see last year's winner, which was a beautiful larch forest planting, several trees planted to resemble a natural forest.
Larches are cool trees. They're interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Trees. They're a little different.
Yeah.
And it's... somebody doing a bonsai larch sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, I have a few of them in my collection, too. I just love them. You know, very few so-called evergreens lose their needles in the wintertime.
I know, and that's what's one of the neat things about, let's see, we've got that and what, Metasequoia, which is Dawn Redwood.
Mm-hmm. Bald Cypress.
Bald Cypress.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many else, but most people think that a conifer... Mm-hmm. is an evergreen, but that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, and also the ginkgo that loses its leaves in the winter.
Yes.
Because that is also a conifer.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And that's the...
Did you know that, Laurie?
I did not.
It's a conifer?
Yeah, it's a conifer.
See, you get Dan on the show, you learn something interesting.
That will also be the tree that I'm doing a workshop on Sunday morning.
Oh, well, no wonder you know about it.
The Morton Arboretum's emblem tree.
Yes, I am aware of that. So, because that leaf is so distinctive. You cannot miss the shape of a ginkgo leaf. Just don't make the mistake of planting the female. In case you don't know, there's a fruit. Have you ever? I've never smelled one of those.
I've smelled it once. Very, very pungent, terrible smell.
When I was in college, I had to walk past one every day to and from my apartment to school, and it was quite an aroma.
I'll bet it was.
I assume it smells bad.
Yes, it's okay.
I've never smelled a bonsai fruit.
No,
I always thought it was a
ginkgo.
No, it's a ginkgo, I'm sorry.
The seed.
And did I just say, I said bonsai wrong, didn't I?
No, you came close enough.
Okay.
Bonsai. But it's the ginkgo, yeah, the seed or the fruit of the ginkgo.
The female tree.
But the fruit of the poor ginkgo is impossible to eat. Yes. What else have we got, Dan? I think that, let me ask you a real quick question,
yeah,
because you work over at the nursery in Hinsdale, Vern Gore's.
Mm-hmm.
You been seeing any powdery mildew action?
Yeah, a couple of people have brought that in.
What else?
The cushion scale seems to be popular this year. I've had about three examples brought in the last 10 days, I'd say, of cushion scale
over. What's cushion scale? How's it different from regular scale?
In between the shell and the bark, there's like a cottony patch.
Oh, really?
White.
Oh.
It looks like a scale sitting on top of a mealybug.
So it's kind of, wow, that is weird. It's almost like a cookie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, with cream on the inside, you know, so to speak.
Earlier, rose sawfly was real popular. Everybody's bringing that one in.
Hmm.
So those have been our biggies so far. And Japanese maples at our place, at least, haven't been bad at all yet this year. So I'm hoping.
What do they usually get?
Well, usually they're all over our roses, and we spend the day, you know.
Oh, Japanese beetles.
Yes.
I thought you said Japanese maples. Oh, Japanese beetles,
Beetles.
Yeah, I don't know how bad the infestation is this year. I haven't heard too much anecdotal stuff.
Yeah, we haven't had much yet, but.
I'll tell you what, if anybody's got real bad Japanese beetle problems, give me a holler. You can give us a report from wherever. 773-838-9278. On the Mike Novak Show. Dan Costa is going to be next week at the Prairie State Bonsai Society show. That's at the Morton Arboretum. It is Saturday and Sunday, July 17th and 18th. Show hours 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday. The only thing it'll cost you is the parking. Workshops, just great stuff. You're going to see some fantastic trees, some fantastic bonsai, and you might even end up being addicted.
We try.
I know you do. Always great to talk to you, Dan. You have a great show and a great week, okay?
Thanks a lot, Mike. Always appreciate the help.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you're a gardener, you know about NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, the essential nutrients for plants. At Dr. Earth, their nitrogen is from fish meal, cottonseed meal, alfalfa meal, fish bone meal, and feather meal. Their phosphorus is partially derived from soft rock phosphate, which you're just not going to find in other products. The potassium is also from natural sources. Then Dr. Earth adds their special probiotics, and that's just the beginning. Read up at drearth.com, where you can find a dealer near you, because Dr. Earth is available only at your local independent garden center.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
I thought it was longer.
Yeah, well.
Sorry.
It's okay. We'll get back to Heather in a second. Those colorful buds in your beds grow fast and bloom frequently, which means you need to water them a lot, which means that precious nutrients get flushed from the soil. So how do you make those sure those nutrients don't get run out of town? Try Back to Nature Flower Bed Conditioner, which is specifically formulated to boost vitality and bloom from flowering plants. Flower Bed Conditioner is a balanced blend of composted cotton burrs and composted cattle manure with feather meal, cottonseed meal, alfalfa meal, and sulfur. Cotton burrs and cattle manure provide food to beneficial soil organisms. These organisms help to make nutrients available to plants. And they also aerate the soil and keep harmful pathogens in check. I've used Back to Nature products in my mixed beds, flowers and vegetables together, and they're very happy. Try flower bed conditioner as well as Back to Nature cotton burr compost, acidified cotton burr compost, Nature's Blend with alfalfa and humates, and rose bed amendment. You can find great Back to Nature compost products at Red's Garden Center in Northbrook, Knupper's Nursery and Landscape in Palatine, and Castle Gardens in Volo and Richmond.
I got hopes and aspirations, but I'm stuck in bad vocations. Working at the Speedway, already smoked a pack today. I gotta get up and get out of here.
I like this already. This is, yeah, I think.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Dave. Why? Do you think, what's wrong, Lori?
Well, usually, see, he plays during the day, and I'm in my garden during the day.
So you don't get to hear Hello, Dave.
I don't get to hear Hello, Dave. But he's been at our festival a number of times.
Yeah?
Very, very popular group.
But I'll be okay. That's a perfect day.
I like it. Good stuff. I mean, the bands that you have there, the music itself for your festival is legendary. Just the stage going from noon to dusk, and you top it off. You've got some regulars who tend to make the scene every year, and that's,
my son's first concert was the Sheffield Garden
Rock.
He wasn't even a year old.
Rusted Rootin' Cowboy Mouth.
Before I did this show, I used to go every year for Cowboy Mouth.
So we are at that time of the program, the mic, you know, and we will actually talk plants at some point, Lori. But that,
okay.
You know, we talked, you know, because he gave me a list of stuff here that is pretty cool of underused plants. And I have something I want you to think about. A friend of mine has a shade garden. It's not much of a gardener, but wondering what he can put in that's going to look good. And I know you do a lot of shade gardening in the front your parkway,
right.
Which I've seen, which is great stuff. And he's not much into gardening, so some of this is going to have to be kind of low maintenance. So I'll bet you can come up with some low maintenance.
Oh, absolutely. There's the shade garden that I have in my front parkway, for example, which was under the two 35-foot ash trees, is 100% perennials, and the maintenance is so I don't have to worry about weeding, but all you have to do is worry about some irrigation.
Yeah.
And
that's the hardest part, though, with the parkway, the irrigation, because I don't have the irrigation for mine. I have the only water access I have is way in the back of the house. So if I get lazy, I don't water. If I don't water, the plants don't look good.
No.
And it's tough.
No.
You can't rely on rain.
You know, people read plant labels. And labels many times say drought tolerant. What they never say is once the plant is established.
Yeah. You got to get that plant established a couple of years.
Right.
So usually the second year, by then you can do pretty well.
But there's a lot of plants, for example, in my parkway. I have only a couple of plants that actually flower in the spring, and the rest of the season they're all foliage. And a lot of plants, specifically in the genus Heuchera, there's some great Heucheras out there now, and they are some of the better performing plants in a shade garden. And I have about eight different varieties of Heuchera in my in my parkway, and they're just great.
They are. Some people call it heuchera. Some people call it coral bells, whatever. Those are great plants. And some people have a hard time keeping them alive, but once I find that the ones that survive go on forever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, well, we'll talk more about that. Let's right now go to line one and bring in our meteorologist, Rick DeMaio. Rick, I saw you yesterday on CBS2.
Mm-hmm.
You back again today?
No, actually, they gave me Sunday off. I don't know why that the way they did it that way, but I'll be back on again next weekend. So they have me on pretty much every weekend, but for some reason that's just how the schedule worked out. And they know
how hard you work. What?
I need the day off.
Well, I was going to say they know how hard you work on this show, and they know you're all tuckered out by.
That's right. After 20 minutes, I'm done.
You know, yesterday I was sitting on the back porch in the evening. Lori talked about a storm, couple of rain events that came through yesterday.
Right.
The one that came through about, I want to say 6:30 or 7, by the time it had finished, it was pouring rain in bright sunshine.
Right.
It was one of those weird things where, because the sun was low on the horizon, the cloud was overhead, but it was the most spectacular rainbow. I mean, as clear as you can get.
Yeah, it was definitely rainbow weather, Mike. And it was one of those things also where the troposphere, which is basically the top of the bottommost layer of the atmosphere, we have five different layers, the troposphere, the stratosphere, the mesosphere, the thermosphere, and the exosphere. But the top of the troposphere was only about 38 or 39,000 feet, which was why some of the thunderstorms that developed yesterday had these very, very flat anvils, but basically went straight up and then flattened out in a very short period of time. You compare that 39,000-foot top of the troposphere. Basically what happens is the atmosphere becomes somewhat inverted from a temperature standpoint as you move from the troposphere into the stratosphere. So what happens is instead of the thunderstorms moving vertically upward at that point, they basically begin to move horizontal. So you have this very, very flat-looking anvil shape to the top. Also, the dew point temperatures yesterday, it wasn't, you know, extremely humid. The dew points were only in the upper 50s. So therefore, your horizontal visibility was very, very good. These were isolated storms, so you really got a good view of not only the bottom but the middle and the top. And because these storms flattened out so quickly, at 39,000 feet as opposed to 50 or 55,000 feet, they didn't really get a chance to get too large. So in other words, once the condensation reached its maximum, you basically went from cumulus to a towering cumulus to a cumulonimbus to a thunderstorm producing rain in probably less than 15 minutes. So these were very, what I call, young thunderstorms. They were moving at a pretty good rate. So once the storm basically moved into your area, it was done and over with in 15 minutes, and the nice thing about it was there was nothing behind it except sunshine. So you got to see the beginning, the middle, and the end, as well as the result, which was a rainbow in many places. A couple of viewers sent me some gorgeous pictures of these storms as they moved through, but it was only about maybe 10% coverage. It was quite interesting. In fact, one of the storms went right through the heart of the loop where they were filming Transformers 3.
Yeah,
and they had to stop production a couple of times. Obviously, they couldn't film in the pouring rain. But I witnessed the same thing: these large drops of rain, and the next thing you know, there was sunshine. And you know what? I mentioned this when I went on the air last night. You know, instead of talking about how the rain dampened people's spirits, to me, that's great. When you get an afternoon and evening thunderstorm. I mean, growing up as kids, that was the stuff that you looked forward to because it cooled things off. You ran outside. You saw these big puddles, and you took your shoes off and your socks off, and you jumped around and you stamped around in the rain. And I think I actually did that last night, Mike.
Did you do that?
But, I mean, isn't that what summer's all about?
Absolutely.
It's enjoying the weather. And you know, I hate it when we hear people say, oh, my God, the rain was terrible. You know what? It was nice. So, and we may actually have a repeat performance again late this afternoon and tonight.
So same kind of thing.
I think the situation that comes through tonight, as I mentioned last night, this is going to be a more organized event. Yesterday it was just a very isolated situation that came through. Some places got more than an inch of rain. in about a half-hour period of time. Other people got nothing, and as we saw, what happens very quickly when you get hot and no rain over a course of a week, that soil evaporates very, very quickly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had, especially Lori and I were just talking about, you know, trying to keep your parkway watered
if you've got
plants, and my parkway just completely dried out.
Yeah, we were basically evaporating about a half inch to about a third of an inch of water off the topsoil every day. So if you don't water at least every 3 days, you know, to keep whatever young plants that you did, you know.
That's a really good point, though, Rick, because people are told that usually an inch of water a week will handle their plants, and that's usually what they need. And if you get supplemental water from rain, you're usually fine.
However, if
you don't know the evaporation rate and you don't know how fast the water, so if you're saying, you said half an inch a day, so in 2 days there goes your inch of water.
Well, I think it's more about about 3/10 of an inch when the temperatures are in the mid 80s, which is normal for this time of the year. But once it gets into the mid 90s, which we did have a couple of days of that, especially when you have a lot of wind, and the wind's the bigger problem here as well, you can eventually, you know, start to evaporate twice as much. So, yeah, after about 2 days, and I saw at some of the parkways, you can see the grass, especially if it was cut too short, all of a sudden you go, whoa, my grass doesn't look as good as it did about a week ago. So that's why I think, you know, people, you need to pay attention not only to the bad part of the forecast, but if it looks like we may not get any rain and hot weather for a period of 4 or 5 days, you know, don't cut the lawn for a day or two. Let it get a little longer. This way, when you do cut it, that younger grass is generally going to be, or not the younger grass, but the grass that's, you know, adjacent right down to the soil there, which I guess would be the younger grass, has a little bit better chance of maintaining its strength and integrity and color.
Well, this is one of the tenets of organic lawn care, basically.
Right.
And just being smart.
Right.
Is in the summer, you cut your lawn higher because it grows slower. We have what are called cool season grasses, and Lori, you know this, although Lori has no lawn at all at his place.
No.
And I have just enough to get make my feet happy when I walk through it.
Right.
But in the spring, your lawn grows very fast, so you can cut it more often. And even if you want a little shorter, but we still say you should try to do about 3 inches. But in the summer, you cut that, you scalp that lawn, it's going to dry out on you, and it's going to go dormant, especially in 90-degree heat. So it just really makes sense to cut it longer in the summer and don't cut it as often.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you something. You're talking about cutting. Do you like to leave the clippings on there? I go back and forth in that. I'm not a leave the clip on the lawn.
I am. And the reason I can is I have a mulching mower.
Okay.
And the reason you want to is that it's nitrogen. When you cut off the lawn and put it back on the, leave it on the ground, you are feeding your plants. You're feeding your lawn without having to pay for fertilizer.
Right.
It's recycling. It's kind of composting.
But that's only if you have a mulching mower. If you have just one of a standard mower.
Well, even with a standard mower, those clippings will break down pretty quickly. If your lawn was really tall when you hacked at it, and you're not supposed to hack that much at it, you're going to have that straw.
Right.
But if you do it, cut only a third of it off, as you're supposed to do each time you mow, and leave it on the lawn, that's really good for your lawn.
You know what I would love for you to have, Mike, is I know we have a lot of people who are, you know, semi-expert gardeners. I would love to have, like, a segment which is, like, condo gardeners for dummies, because a lot of condo associations, you may have 6 or 7 or 8 units in the building, and maybe one person actually takes care of everything and then gets kind of pissed off at people because someone will say, oh, you cut the lawn too short, and someone will say, no, you're supposed to do it this way, you're supposed to do it that way. You know what I'm saying?
And what's even worse is...
I lived in a building like that.
But what's even worse is you got a condo association, and one person's an expert, and gets overruled by people who don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And who hire bad services to come in and cut their lilacs into balls in September and do all these stupid things that so-called landscapers do, and don't practice sustainability and don't have an interesting plant palette. You know, it's hard to fight that if you're only one... On a board. So, yeah. You know, we could talk about that at some point. But the point, what Lori and I are sitting here waiting to hear you say, and I know you don't like to do predictions a week out.
No, that's fine.
But you know what? He's got the big event Saturday and Sunday next week, and I've got my big event Sunday morning.
Oh, that's the 18th, right?
The 18th. So what does it look like?
Well, you know what, Mike? The pattern is still somewhat active. It's not as active as it was before. What we have is this large dome of hot weather over the central plains and the desert southwest that continues to try to push northward. This time of the year, though, we begin to get a little bit more of an influx of Gulf of Mexico moisture, so that'll probably temper the heat a little bit. I would love to say exactly what's going to happen 7 days out, but this pattern doesn't allow you to do that. So the bottom line is, as I mentioned last night, we're in a very, very typical mid-July pattern. However, the temperatures have been running for the first 10 days of the month of July, 5 degrees above normal. Amazingly enough, last year at this time, we remember how cool July was. We were running 4 degrees below normal. So we've actually flipped the cards about almost 8.5 degrees, which is pretty amazing. Lake Michigan water temperatures in the mid-70s. Last year at this time, it was in the upper 50s. But I would say, you know, there's an isolated chance of a couple of thunderstorms, you know, with these weak boundaries that come through. But to be honest with you, I think going out 7 days this time of the year, you just have to play climatology, where you have highs in the mid-80s, lows in the upper 60s, and maybe an afternoon thunderstorm. But when you get into mid-July, you don't have these all-day rain events with severe weather. You just have, you know, maybe a 3 to 4 hour event. So.
And given what you said, it looks like my prognosis is better because I'm in the morning from 8 to 10.
Exactly. And you noticed, and this is kind of interesting, someone said, are we going to get thunderstorms tonight? And I said, when was the last time we had an overnight thunderstorm in the morning? And they went, yeah, you're right. And I said, you know what? Because they ride their bike a lot of work at night. And they said, yeah, it seems like we're getting them like all the time now, like just in the afternoon. I'm like, that's right, because we're out of the severe weather pattern. We haven't had any overnight thunderstorms, unless it comes through, obviously, with the frontal boundary. But we haven't had any of these nocturnal events that, you know, occur across Iowa, and they drift into Illinois in the morning, blah, blah, blah. So this has been pretty much kind of like clockwork, where the mornings are nice, the afternoons get hot, you get a couple of thunderstorms between 3 and about 6 o'clock, and you're done. And I think that's pretty much how we're going to be for the next probably 2 to 3 weeks.
So Lori's not going to get any sleep this week. I'll probably get a little bit. So that's the way that works.
Yeah, I wish I could be, you know, a little bit more accurate or detailed on that, but I just think this time of day you really can't.
Yeah,
once you get
tough
into that kind of a pattern and you recognize that, that's pretty much what it is. Just play the books climatologically, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with that.
There he is, Rick DeMaio. You can hear his forecasts on the Mike Novak Show every Sunday morning right around 8:30, and he's doing a lot of, not today, but catch him on CBS2 Chicago. Rick, you're welcome to come to Millennium Park next week if you want to be part of the big broadcast. It's up to you. We'll talk about it during the week, okay?
Sounds good, Mike.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Bye.
It's summer clearance time at Sid's Greenhouses for, oh, by the way, Rick DeMaioWeather.com, and of course you can always link to his site on my homepage, MikeNovak.net. It's summer clearance time at Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center, and through July 24th, look for the colored dots throughout their stores for savings of 30, 50, and 70% off on a great selection of merchandise for your home and garden. Find the red dots for 30% off. Yellow dots signal 50% off savings. And for really big savings, look for the blue dots to save 70% off Sid's regular prices. Quantities are limited and the selection varies by store, so shop early and shop often for the big dot sale savings at Sid's. Summer is also a great time to plant perennials. Keep them watered. And Sid still has a great selection of flowering perennials for a blast of summer color. Plus lush. That comes together. That's plush. Plus lush hosta varieties and perennial grasses for the cooling sights and sounds of summer. Sid, Chicagoland's premier garden centers are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway, in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. For hours and directions, visit sidsonline.com. This just in. Newsflash for all you ponders out there. The koi trailer from Klobeck Koi Farms will be at Sid's Palos Hill store on Saturday, July 17th. Yet one more thing on Saturday, July 17th, featuring fancy and exotic koi specimens for inspection and purchase.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Did you know that you can ensure transplant success with a plant food that is safe for people, pets, and the environment? Now, you know me. I'm not going to bring in a product here that isn't safe for you. But one of the great companies is Espoma, and they've got new Biotone Starter Plus. Biotone Starter Plus feeds naturally and adds beneficial microbes proven to help plants establish fast. The secret is the patented blend of Biotone beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizae fungi. They go to work faster to grow deeper roots quickly so your new plants can survive and thrive even in poor soils. And unlike chemical fertilizers, those synthetics, Biotone Starter Plus is low in salts, so it won't burn plant roots and it won't leach out of the soil with the next rain. Simply mix it into your soil at the time of planting. What could be easier? Biotone Starter Plus ensures your new plants will perform their best and provide delight for a lifetime. For more information about Biotone Starter Plus and other Espoma products, call 888-ESPOMA1 or visit espoma.com, where you can join the Espoma Garden Club to receive timely tips and information. Espoma, E-S-P-O-M-A, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. There he is again, not the guitar, but the Piani. That's Chuck Lavelle, back from when he was at the with the Allman Brothers in the early 70s.
He's worked with some good guys, that Chuck.
He's gotten lucky. He's lucky. It's Mary DiCarlo on the phone with us right now. How are you, Mary?
Good morning, Mike. I live for that. I call you once a day just to let you
let me
hear you do that.
Hello, Mary DiCarlo. She's the fund development specialist with the Tree Fund, which stands to benefit from this big event we're doing next week at Millennium Park, all part of the 2010 Steel Tour de Trees. How many years have you been working on the Tour de Trees now, Mary?
Well, this is my third year with the Tree Fund. So I came on board initially to do their gala auction, and last year I worked with a strong team of volunteers. This is really the first year that I have worked exclusively with the Tour de Trees. It's been a lot of fun.
And last year it started in Central Park.
Yes, it did. We started in Central Park last year, and I thought, wow, this is pretty ultimate. You know, Central Park is the crown jewel of New York City, and it's vast and it's lush, and I thought, well, how are we going to top this? So this year we are in Millennium Park, which in my book is better than Central Park. You can't beat Millennium Park for bling. And we are thrilled to be launching the tour next week from Millennium Park. The folks at the park have been terrific. They have built really a whole day of programming, or actually I think the whole weekend is pretty much devoted to trees next weekend in Millennium Park. You can come to the park anytime on Sunday morning. We're starting the broadcast at 8 a.m. Mike, you're doing your show there, and mm-hmm. Vic has assured us that there's not going to be thunderstorms.
That's right.
So I'm going to send a substantial contribution to him this week to make sure that holds.
You write a check to him so I don't have to, okay?
Okay.
But I want to make sure we only have like a minute and a half here, but there's a lot of great companies that have gotten involved in this. And by the way, you should know that the cyclists have to get $3,500 worth of pledges before they can even be in this event. So that's how we're raising money. But great sponsors like the Care of Trees, Steel, of course, is the title sponsor,
right.
And the the Care of Trees and Davy, the Davy Tree Expert Company. Bartlett Tree is involved. Bartlett Tree Experts. Who else am I missing there?
Well, I think you've hit the big ones. Asplund will be there as well. We've got arborists from the Illinois Arborist Association will be represented. Bartlett, of course, donated three trees, beautiful big trees, to Millennium Park as part of the Tour de Trees launch from Chicago.
And we'll have a nod to that. We're not actually planting them that day. They will be planted.
They are already there.
Yeah, okay.
You can go visit them. They're lovely.
But they're actually kind of part of the ceremony. So it all starts at 8 a.m. on my show. At 9:30, we have the big send-off. We have the speeches and send-off the riders. Mary will be there. I will be there. A bunch of people are going to be there. Come on down to Millennium Park, and let's have some fun.
And Davey, stay until noon, because Davey has programming going from 10 until noon.
Cool.
It's all about trees. You can bring the kids. You can learn all kinds of neat things about trees.
And we are out of time. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Well, I'll talk to you later this week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Sugarfoot called me last night. He said his girl called him. She said, can I come over? She said, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is, Mike Novak.
You got to pull that microphone over to Heather, just for a second.
Yes,
what
sir.
Was your comment when
I said,
first
you think,
heard this?
I said, this is, who is this again? I'm sorry.
This is Black Joe Lewis and the Honey Bears.
You think he listened to a little bit of James Brown growing up?
Nah.
Just a skosh?
This is funky.
So funky.
That's good stuff. That is good stuff. Just another one of the entertainers, eh, Lori Lewis?
That is correct.
At the Sheffield Garden Walk next Saturday and Sunday. Come on down. The big stage is at exactly...
Sheffield and Webster.
Good. That's what I thought. I did get it right. Because
right.
Actually, I have to tell you this. I went to the website, and I kept looking for where it told me exactly where the stage was. You did mention Webster and Sheffield, but it didn't say, the stage is at Sheffield and Webster. So just for future reference.
Right between the Fullerton and Armitage L stations, one on the Brown Line, one on the Red Line.
And has Heather already asked for backstage passes for this year?
For her whole family.
Did you really?
No, just me and the kid.
Just you and the kid. Okay.
Here's
the thing, though. She's forbidden from going there Saturday evening because she's got a big broadcast on Sunday.
Saturday's when Cowboy Moth plays. I will be there. I will be at the broadcast. I'm going Saturday. Oh, yes.
Did you hear that? That's insubordination. That is insubordination.
And then I'm going to leave the big broadcast on Sunday and go back to the Sheffield Garden Walk Sunday afternoon.
I don't care what you do Sunday afternoon.
You should come, too.
You can go swim in the lake if you want in all that E. coli. I don't care.
No, I want to swim in the powdery mildew.
By the way, I got to say this, and I can't believe this just happened to pop in my head. We're watching the news report on, I don't even know what station it was yesterday, and they're talking about, well, there's E. coli in Lake Michigan. And the reporter says, well, why do you think why do we have to shut down the beaches? And I'm thinking, it's because we pollute them. That's why.
Right.
Because we dump all this stuff in them. And he's going, well, you know, there's a lot of birds here. And
I'm thinking,
oh, yeah, blame it on the birds.
Yeah, I blame it on Indiana.
I don't know. We pour all this effluent into the lake and rivers, and it gets into the big lake. And
then
he's blaming the seagulls or what?
And it
what?
Goes to St. Louis and they turn it into Budweiser.
And I don't know who the I'm not listening to you anymore. Lori, take the microphone back. Get it away from her. But I'm thinking that's the best you can come up with, you official spokesperson, you, that it's the birds causing the problem? Give me a break. Give me a break. Yeah, this is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We have a room full of people. Lori Lewis, of course, is here for the whole show from the Sheffield Garden Walk. Look who just walked in the door. And by the way, Ann Malloy from Neptune's Harvest is going to be with us in just a sec. Hang on, Ann, because I've got Nina Neuhauser in the studio. Hi, Nina.
Hello, Mike.
Nina and I go back a ways, back to Gargantua Radio down the dial.
Yes.
And when I first met Nina, she was producing Roy Leonard's show. So that was a gazillion years ago.
Way back in the 80s.
Way back in the 80s, yes. Like a smart person got out of the radio biz. And now this stuff you're doing for the Andersonville... Eco Andersonville is mm-hmm. is really volunteer work, isn't it? Or are you getting paid
I'm actually
now?
Being paid as the manager of Andersonville Green Week because this was a couple month program. Last
cool.
year I was volunteering as an intern and stuff, helping uh-huh. with eco programming at the farmers market. But this is a paid position.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now I'm really impressed.
Let me give you this cool looking program here.
Oh,
this is
the Andersonville Green Week. And we are going to talk about Andersonville Green Week and a little bit, yet one more event, except you're starting tomorrow and
right.
going the whole
week. Right, right.
Culminating on Saturday and Sunday, but everybody's going to be at the Sheffield Garden Walk on Saturday.
Well,
and Sunday.
We're a first-time event, so we're a puny little event. It's pretty hard to compete with the Sheffield Garden Walk, which has been around forever and is well known.
But you know what? It's another great neighborhood. Andersonville is just a terrific neighborhood, and I used to live there, so I have very fond memories of it.
Love to hear that.
And I still like going up there. My bank is there, and my friends are there too. So let us go to line one and bring in the lovely, the talented, the vivacious Ann Malloy from Neptune's Harvest. How are you, Ann?
I'm doing well. How are you, Mike?
I'm great. It's good to have you on. You know, you have the most entertaining accent on my radio station, or on my show, anyway. And of course, is from the East Coast. We were going to get you on, was it 2 weeks ago? You had some big festival or something out there that you were being part of?
Oh, yeah, the St. Peter's Fiesta. The St. Peter's, the patron saint of the fishermen, so they have a huge Sicilian-Italian kind of festival for St. Peter, and it's a huge party. It's like our Mardi Gras, so I didn't think my voice would sound so great that weekend on the interview.
Your voice always sounds great, because you got that Heather Fry thing going on, you know? It's that raspy kind of thing, except Heather has the Midwest accent, and you've got the East Coast, the New England thing going on. I'll tell you what, can you say this for me? Say the phrase, "You can't get there from here."
That's Maine, but okay.
All right. Where are you located specifically?
Massachusetts.
Oh, you're, well, that's
Gloucester.
Close. Gloucester. You know what? You know, it's like from here to DeKalb, you know, if you guys are so close together out there.
That's right.
You're what was that, Heather?
Gloucester, Mass. Is the best place to see whales.
Oh, the Gloucester, Mass. Is where you see whales in Massachusetts?
Yeah, huge whale watching. I think it's like the whale watching capital of the country or something, they say. And one of our local Gloucester boats saw a great shark out offshore yesterday, 20-foot great white shark when they were out whale watching. So the water's warm.
In those kind of waters? Wow.
So it's also the fish fertilizer capital of the world. I don't know if it's the world, but you guys do a lot of that.
Yep.
I'm sure Lori Lewis is a master gardener who's in the studio with me. I'm betting you've used Neptune's Harvest and fish
fertilizer. Absolutely.
Excellent.
It's great stuff. I mean, in the Midwest, we know all about it. Tell us why fish fertilizer in general is so good. And then after that, tell us how we can start capturing the big Asian carp before they get into Lake Michigan and make them into fish fertilizer, Ann.
There's actually a company doing that.
Really?
But we're not here to talk about them.
No, because it's a competitor, right?
Yeah, but it's really not as good because our fish is caught well offshore, very cold, clean, mineral-rich, dark North Atlantic ocean water. And so it's, the ocean being salt water has a lot more minerals than the Mississippi. And, like you were talking about before you intro'd me, the pollution and the Great Lakes and the, the rivers and everything, it's it's a big problem with chemical fertilizers, so organic is so much better for that reason, too.
Yeah.
But we started going into, we were in the fish business. We unloaded fishing boats since 1965, and my grandfather before that. So we were, you know, filleting fish, and then there was a plant that took all the fish waste and made pet food, and they went out of business. So we were paying fishermen to dump all this gurry when, after you fillet a fish, whatever's left over is called gurry. So we had this gurry barge that would take it all out to sea and dump it, and it was hugely expensive and wasteful. So we decided, you know, we know it makes great fertilizer. The Indians did it, and it goes way back. So we started, you know, once you fillet a fish, there's only 30 to 40% is the fillet. So all that is what we take, the leftover gurry, we take it, we grind it up, cold process all the way through. So, you know, it doesn't destroy your heat-sensitive nutrients, and the enzymes are still alive. And we use only fresh fish, and fresh fish doesn't smell. So, you know, the day it comes in off the boats, it goes, you know, through the grinder, liquefies, and then we stabilize it so it won't rot, and then we screen it so it won't clog sprayers, and that's it. It comes out like chocolate milk. But the ocean is the perfect source for nutrients that plants and soil need. I mean, the whole world at one point was under salt water, was under the ocean water. They found fish fossils on the top of Mount Everest. So ever since then, it's kind of been demineralizing. And fish naturally contains your macronutrients, which is the NPK, but also micronutrients, trace elements, amino acids, vitamins, enzymes, growth hormones that are naturally in fish that make fish grow. And it's got the omega oils. So you put it on your vegetables. I mean, it's not going to smell bad. It's going to boost the flavor, make really build the sugar, the bricks up in the plants. So they're, you know, sweeter, better tasting, less susceptible to insect damage, disease. Just really increases the yield and...
Well, let's get back to that. The you know, and the nutrients are fabulous, and I would think, and natural, of course. And I think the thing that stops people is they're afraid of the fish smell. Now, you guys have addressed that problem over the years, haven't you?
Yeah, it's really not bad. I mean, it smells like the ocean, maybe, you know, like the beach or something, just when you apply it. But you're mixing 1 ounce per gallon of water, so you just put in a little bit in a lot of water, and it goes in. You foliar spray it right on the leaves, and it absorbs into the plant because it's systemic, so it naturally goes into the plant.
But you can also do it as a drench in the soil, right?
I like to do both because it gets the beneficial bacteria going in the soil, gets the soil microbes going, just builds the biological life in the soil. You see a lot of earthworms, it makes it very healthy. But as a foliar feed, all that nutrient's going straight into the plant immediately, and you get a lot more bang for your buck. And you literally, like on flowers, you could see results the next day. I'm not kidding. I mean, you water a hanging basket or a window box or a flower bed, the next day the colors are so much brighter and everything's so healthy. It's amazing. You get way more blooms. They last longer. And I can't emphasize the color enough. That's one thing people say all the time is, wow, they're just, the color in the flowers is amazing.
And you've also begun to experiment with seaweed as well in your products. And you have some combinations of fish and seaweed, right?
Yep, we do the dry kelp meal, which is just a soil conditioner. It beads up almost like a polymer when it gets wet, and it's got a lot of trace minerals, so it's great for the root development. So that's something you could till in the soil. We also sell a lot of it for animal feed. And then we have the liquid seaweed, and then we have a fish-seaweed blend, which is 75% fish, 25% seaweed, and that's a real good mix because you get most of your nutrients in the fish, and then you get the added benefits of the seaweed all in one product. So for vegetables and overall grass and shrubs, that's definitely the best. Flowers or the fish for flowers is excellent. It's a little higher phosphorus. And
although you know, phosphorus is an interesting question because more and more people are becoming aware of the dangers of applying too much phosphorus. But that's one of the things I always say about the organic products. They're not going to be overloaded with any particular nutrient.
Right. Like chemicals, I mean, you can get a 20, like, you know, Standard Miracle-Gro 20-20-20. That's, you know, ours is a 2-4-1. It's not even close to that, but you're giving it all the other nutrients besides just NPK, and that's why it outperforms it. And, you know, that those things will deplete and hurt your soil, and you can get phosphate fixation, and you get runoff, and it's bad. But with the fish, it's all, you know, absorbed by the plant, and very little, if any, even ends up in the groundwater. And it's not a high phosphorus by any stretch compared to chemicals, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I am just so happy that you guys are part of the show. I highly recommend Neptune's Harvest fertilizer. I wish you guys would come in and start whacking Asian carp over the head. You know, as long as somebody else is doing it.
I think the government gave a grant to people in Illinois to get rid of that carp, and there is a company out there doing it.
I think I know which company you're talking about. But we won't name them now. But, you know, and we know you're not the only company in the world that does fish fertilizer.
You're the best one.
That's right.
You get more bang for your fin.
Have you heard about our crab shell at all?
No.
We have ground up crab shell now. So instead of, you know, same thing, we're utilizing 100% of the crabs. After they remove the meat, they just heat it up and dry it out, and then it goes through a crusher, and it comes out with this crushed crab shell, but it's high in chitin. So it helps with nematodes, grubs, slugs, ants, and fungus, and it helps choke out weeds because it's really high calcium.
Now, wait, is it a fertilizer?
It's a 230 is the NPK.
Okay.
So it's not a complete fertilizer, but it's 23 to 24% calcium, 1.3 magnesium, and so it helps with the calcium in the soil. Everything grows better. But for lawns, it's great because of the grubs, the ants.
How does it stop grubs?
Well, it's high in chitin, so it builds the chitin-eating bacteria in the soil, and grubs and ants and fungus and nematodes are all chitin-based in structure. So if there's chitin-eating bacteria in the soil, they're not going to want to be there.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
that's what we call an organic grub control.
Yep, and it helps with, like, blossom end rot, powdery mildew, black spot on roses, because it helps with all the fungus.
And we're dealing, you didn't hear earlier because you're out in the East Coast, but I've got a powdery mildew problem on my zucchinis out here in the parking lot where we're growing some veggies.
Yep, I get some crab shell in the soil and also spray some straight liquid seaweed on the leaves. And between the two, you'll be in good shape.
Well, the soil is actually, they're earth boxes.
Okay.
So it's contained, but that the straight liquid seaweed sounds like it might be a good treatment for that.
Yep. We sell it to vineyards that do that all the time, just the straight seaweed for fungus.
Excellent. See? That's why I get these people on the show. They know what they're talking about.
We sell in bulk, too, so if there's any
Yeah, if farmers are listening and they want to try this organic product, get a hold of Ann at Neptune's Harvest. Give us that website again, Ann.
Neptunesharvest.com.
See how easy that is? Ann, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Mike.
Have a great rest of the summer, okay?
And you too. Have a good time at that blues festival, Heather.
She's just dreaming about it already.
I'd be there if I was out there.
Grab the mic. The only thing scarier than Heather alone at this place would be Heather with Ann Malloy.
Oh, Ann and I would have some fun. You that already. You come to Chicago, honey? I'll show you around. We'll be all right.
I've been out there. It's a fun potty town. We'd have a good time.
Excellent.
And Heather wants to go out your way to potty, too.
I want to see whales and party.
Come on out.
She will. She's going to show up on your doorstep, Ann, one of these days.
That's fine.
All right. Ann, take care.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We still have to give away that last pair of ticks. I think I got an idea for our question. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to the Chuck Lavelle benefit performance next Saturday evening at the Omni Chicago. I want to make sure I get this exactly right because it's a very long title for the event. It's called, here it is. It's Hours to Save. An intimate evening of music with Chuck Lavelle. And he's going to be there playing that evening at the Omni. And I got a feeling it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful event. It's going to benefit the American Forest Foundation and the Tree Fund. And we've got one more pair of tickets to give away. We're going to do before 10. And I think I've got the question, but when we go to break, I'm going to try it out in you, Lori, and see what you think. Because he's given me a list of plants here, and I was looking at the list, and I got an idea about what we can do. Speaking of that event, here's an invitation from the Care of Trees. One of America's great events, cycling event, is coming to Chicago next week. I'm going to be part of it, as you know. The 2010 Steel Tour de Trees kicks off from Chicago's Millennium Park next Sunday morning, July 18th, with a special broadcast of the Mike Novak Show, sponsored in part by the Care of Trees and the Davey Tree Care Experts. I will be the MC for the event as dozens of cyclists head out from the park on a six-day trip to the Mississippi River and back to raise money for tree research and education. My special guest will be Rolling Stones keyboardist and world-class tree farmer Chuck Lavelle. What's interesting about Chuck is you go to his website and he's got all this stuff about music, because he's played with some of the greatest rock musicians in the world, and then he's got all this stuff about the tree stuff. He's got a place in Georgia. And that's where he has taken care of trees for a long time and learned about. Apparently, he used to, during gigs, then they'd be on the bus. He'd be sitting in the back of the bus with tree research. You know, and the rock and rollers would say, Chuck, what are you doing? And he'd say, well, you know, I'm learning about this. And I'm thinking, that's pretty cool. That's got to be cool. So Chuck will be part of that, and we will talk trees next Sunday during the show. I hope you come to Millennium Park to join us for the Tour de Trees kickoff and celebration. Again, regular showtime, 8 to 10 a.m. And meanwhile, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees is a proud sponsor of the 2010 Tour de Trees.
Hey gardeners, want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
Yes, Chuck Lavelle, L-E-A-V-E-L-L, because what, are you tweeting it?
Oh, yes.
Okay, get the word out there.
It's on Twitter and Facebook.
It's on Twitter, that's right, and we're on Twitter and Facebook, and you should know about that, too, because you can know, a lot of us, I see, we're getting a lot of tweets this morning from we got a lot of regulars who listen to us and then tweet us and let us know what they're doing. Now, if you're wondering why Pesci's was voted Best Florist and Best Garden Center and Nursery in the 2010 Daily Herald Reader's Choice Awards, all you need to do is stop in. Annuals are the workhorses of the garden, especially when you get to July and you need some color for your patio, porch, or backyard. I like to plug them in the yard where some of the perennials have given up the ghost. Even in the middle of the summer, you can stop in at Pesci's for a lush, blooming, hanging basket, planter, or flower pouch to complement your yard with the color and fragrance of summer. Hanging baskets and planters are also perfect for those problem spots where planting is not feasible, such as areas with lots of tree roots, very acidic soil, like under a pine tree, or plenty of shade. If you're doing your own, there's a wonderful variety of 4-inch pots, and you can mix and match your annual flats. But for those of you who don't know a geranium from a gerbil, they'll do it for you. Pesci's Garden Center, family-owned since 1924. Pesci's is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road, one block north of Rand Road in Des Plaines. Visit them online at Pesci's.com. P-E-S-C-H-E-S, Pesci's in Des Plaines. Family-owned since 1924, where you'll find the best selection and prices guaranteed. All right, I'm going to do a little... All these cuts are good on this disc here, but I'm going to do a little roulette. I have no idea what's going to come up. We'll go with number 5, and I hope it's not something I've played already. It's a little tame. Who is this? Let's see. This is
you were looking for
Rusted Root?
Yeah.
You stood upon it.
Come on, wait a second. Nah.
Go to Cowboy Mouth.
This guy... Okay, let's go to... All right.
You wanted to rock.
I wanted
go to Cowboy Mouth.
All right, let's try one more. Here we go. There we go. Cowboy Mouth.
Have you ever felt the thunder inside your heart?
All at the Sheffield Garden Walk next Saturday and Sunday. All right, here's what I was thinking, Lori, and we're going to get to Nina in just a second. Talk about Andersonville. You gave me a... Did you... what's happened to my log? My log has just totally disappeared, hasn't it?
It's been absorbed.
It's just...
Talk to your guests. I'll find it.
You find it. It's somewhere in this book. I'm telling you. It's somewhere. It got... It, papers are here. Papers
give
are all...
Give me the book and talk.
You know, I got like 2 square inches of space here to pad my computer and the log book and the... This is not like Gargantua Radio, Nina.
No, I haven't heard you. That term's a good one. No, certainly you are working in a very small space there, Mike, I have to say. You could use about 20 times that.
Yeah, give me those.
Mike, it's like an urban garden, your little space
here.
Yeah,
right.
I know. It's like you guys, and if I have 2 people in the studio.
We got a lot of space over here. Would you like me to hold something over here for you?
You could just hold. Now what happened to all the papers? Where's all the loose papers? Did you just steal them all from me? Because Lori had... Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. All right, I need... I don't need that fact sheet. I needed Lori's list of plants. There we go. All right, good. Whew. Wow, that was painful. That was really hard. All right. Here's what I'm thinking. You've got 3 Bruneras, or do you say Brunera? How do you pronounce that?
Brunera.
Is it Brunera, really?
Brunera, yeah.
Says you. All right, you've got 3 Bruneras here. And I was thinking, you know the common name for a Brunera, right?
Yes.
I think that would be a good question, don't you?
Yeah, that's good.
All right. What is the common name for the plant genus Brunera? And he's got Brunera macrophylla, Jack Frost, Brunera macrophylla, Brunera macrophylla, looking glass. These are some great plants here. I know they're really beautiful plants. But what is the common name for Brunera? For tickets to go see Chuck Lavelle next Saturday evening at the Omni Chicago, or is it Chicago Omni, whichever. 773-838-9278. 773-838-WCPT. If you can give me the common name of Brunera, you will walk away with ticks. Now, Nina!
You!
So, Andersonville has decided to do their little thing there, too. Not little, but it's... I mean, I looked at the website, and the link is on my page, MikeNovak.net, this week. And, there's a ton of stuff you're doing next week.
What's amazing is this is a first-time event, like I mentioned before, and Eco Andersonville created this as a way to really celebrate what people are doing in the neighborhood. And I use that word because so many things, as you know, are talking about green and people are kind of being lectured, or there's green expos and green fairs that are selling products.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a kind of reach out to the residents and businesses and the community in general saying, hey, you folks are doing a lot of stuff. Why don't you share with your neighbors and also others in the city what you're doing. And
mm-hmm.
that means like Stephanie Davies, who you've probably talked to, you know, the Urban Worm Girl. She lives in the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. She's been on the show.
Yeah, I figured.
And I run into the Urban Worm Girls all the time.
Exactly. And Amber. Yeah, they're great. And so Stephanie lives in the neighborhood, so she's going to do something in her garden. She also raises, she has an organic garden. Things like that. Or somebody who, this is, again, something he does every month. It's called Pack the Car for Care for Real, which is a local food pantry. You know, he literally parks a car at Berwyn and Clark and says, you know, bring your toiletries and food and things like that. We'll pack the car. We'll take it to the pantry for you. Things like that. So that's something that's literally going on all the time anyway. So we just incorporated it. And then we have a lot of fun things like some movies and a premiere of a movie called Gasland, which is a Sundance award-winning documentary about natural gas development at Chicago filmmakers. So these are all things that just kind of bubbled up literally organically, no pun intended, but it's just fun. And we thought we'd have maybe a dozen or 20 events, and we have about 40.
I noticed, like I said, if you go to the give me the Eco Andersonville website. That is,
it's eco-andersonville.org.
And
then
of,
you
of
backslash
course,
yeah,
yeah
Green Week.
Yeah, and backslash Green Week.
Right.
And of course, it's easier just go if you get to my website because I've got it up there as well. And like I said, I went on the site. In fact, let me do that right now because then we could just sort of.
Well, for your listeners in particular, there's an urban trees tour on Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
Yep.
with an arborist. So that's kind of something that, you know, a lot of urban trees are not really terribly well cared for, as you well know. These are the ones in the public,
yeah.
You know, in the sidewalks and things like that. We have a local neighborhood organization called West Andersonville Neighbors Together, and they're doing a tour of their community garden, which is along Ravenswood,
mm-hmm.
things like that. And we also have a wonderful thing called Plants and Their Pollinators, which is a naturalist at Foster Beach Gardens talking about the bees and butterfly drawing plants there, and then they're going to take a little quad cycle down to the Magic Hedge and tour that. And, you know, again,
what's
all these,
the Magic Hedge?
The Magic Hedge is right at Montrose Beach, and you know how the water has been receding? And
yeah.
so the beach is growing, and there's a whole area that's planted that was planted years and years ago, and because the water is receding, all these plants are kind of coming back.
Oh.
And then it's a huge bird sanctuary and butterfly area. So it's just a wonderful, and a lot of these events are designed for families. You know, get kids into nature, and wow, I didn't know this plant attracted butterflies, things like that.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Heather, we have got to get a memo out. I just hit the mistake again of clicking on to your link. It's an Adobe file.
Mm-hmm.
We have Adobe minus 0.6 here at Chicago's not-so-progressive talk when it comes to computers.
Ooh.
And it's sitting there trying to load up. It's rubbing two sticks together. It's mocking me. Yes.
Yeah. It's on the cave wall.
Exactly. It's just mocking me.
Well, for folks who are listening.
There it is. It finally.
There you go.
Jeez.
I was going to say, isn't that free to download that? I mean, how hard is it?
Yeah. If you have administrator rights to the computer.
I see you've got. Real
okay, there you go.
But you went through all the cool, a lot of the cool stuff, and I'm looking at some of the other stuff, like you've got the meet a backyard chicken.
I know, yeah. I know.
Well, we have one in mind. We have a rooster by now.
Oh, do you? Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah, that's fun. He does raise chickens in his backyard, a couple blocks, you know, from the neighborhood, and that's all part of the farmer's market, which is on Wednesday from 3 to 8 p.m.
That's right, and the farmer's market is a regular deal.
Yeah, yeah. And it's great. It's 20 plus vendors, and we're also going to have some chef demos at this particular one. A chef making treats for dogs.
Mm-hmm. What?
Oh, I know, right. I know. It's just, you know, fun. Why not?
I saw that. The treats for dogs. Get a chef out there. How to make treats for your dog.
Well, again, like I said, it's a celebration. Yes, a lot of these things, there's an energy efficiency demo and things like that, but there's also a home brew competition. You
right,
know.
And you've got a lot of sustainable food
yeah.
things going on there. You've got, as I said, what was some of the other?
We have a beer and spirit store, you know, that whole buy local. That's part of green and sustainability. And we have two breweries and a distillery in our neighborhood. So we're doing a booze tour.
Heather, they're doing a booze tour.
Yeah, beer and spirits. Hey.
Hey, woohoo.
Yeah.
And Rose Hill Cemetery tour and other things. And then the big block party at the
yeah.
end of the week.
And CPT, thank you for being a sponsor
yeah,
of our event.
Right.
You guys
Chicago's
will be there.
Progressive Talk
yeah.
will be there with our minus 0.6 Adobe file in.
There
so,
you go.
What's
but,
that?
Yeah, it's Saturday from 4 to 9 on Balmoral between Clark and Ashland.
And we've got a question here that fits right in. Tweeted to us. Web girl Lisa wants to know, is gardening good for our hangover? And Lori Lewis is saying yes.
Only those plants that don't have to be pruned carefully.
Yeah, you know, and don't dehydrate yourself too much. You got to bring water into the garden if you're going to do that.
And then we did retweet one from one of our followers, Pad Chicago, posted a link about the swim advisories in the lake.
Oh.
That's up there, too.
There's a swim advisory in the lake, and it was retweeted?
I retweeted it from
Oh,
Pad
you retweeted
Chicago.
It. Okay, cool. Are they in effect today, too?
Oh, yes.
And it's just, don't worry, it's just the birds. 773-838-WCPT, if you know the answer to the question, what is the common name for Brunera? We will give you tickets to the Chuck Lavelle concert at the Omni next Saturday. I need to take a short break. We need to get our final guest. Woody is probably waiting for us to give him a holler. But just before we do that, I want to, because we never get to this question when you're on the show. We always talk about underused plants. I want you to just give me some of those underused plants, because people are listening, and let's tease them with that.
Well, in those of you that have shade, partial shade, a good plant, especially a perennial, you want a plant that looks good in flower and looks good in foliage. And many perennials have great flowers but not good foliage and so forth. But I love Bergenia.
Okay, I always thought it was Bergenia. Bergenia?
Clematis clematis.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
I think I think Bergenia, or Bergenia, however you want to pronounce it, is a wonderful plant because the leaves are tough and glossy, and they look good all year round.
And in the fall, they have that real burgundy color to them, and they're semi-evergreen.
We talked earlier about my friend who's got the shade garden and looking for some tough shade plants. Where would you start there? You know, and don't even talk about hostas yet. A hosta can be a great plant. I'm saying get an interesting one if you're going to get a hosta, is what I say.
Absolutely. There's plenty of variegated hostas on the market now. But besides that, I love in shade the Aruncus ethosifolia.
I beg your pardon?
Yes. The dwarf...
Aruncus is goat's beard.
Yeah, this is the dwarf variety.
And why is goat's beard a cool thing? Because obviously it'll grow in the shade.
It'll grow in the shade. It has great feathery fern-type foliage. It has a small white bottle brush flower that comes up, typically in late May. But more importantly, the foliage stays great from spring through the fall.
And I like it. I even like the large one. And if you don't have too much water, the large one will not grow out of control. If you have a lot of moisture, they can get pretty big.
The big ones, yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And another thing, and I've proven this in my shade garden, people say I can never grow a lily. I'm not talking about daylilies, but lilium, you know, Asiatic oriental lilies. I have two 35-foot ash trees, and I grow all kinds of lilies under the shade, under story planting, under those two ash trees. And they look fabulous.
I have found that there are a number of plants you can get away with in a fairly shady area. Coneflower, oddly enough, is one of those. It's going to lose some of its color and some of the saturation.
Right.
But they're pretty, you know, give them even a tiny bit of light and you can get them to bloom.
And I've also grown Phlox David, which is the white mildew-resistant variety. I've grown that in with an hour of sun a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even Monarda, to some extent, you can get to grow in a partly shady area.
Absolutely.
Bee balm. All right, well, listen, we're going to get back to that question. We've got a couple of people trying to answer it for us. Again, last call. If you think you know the answer to the question, what's the common name for Brunera?
Brunera macrophylia.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brunera.
Brunera macrophylia. And
Tomato. If you know that, give us a call, 773-838-WCPT. We're smack in the middle of veggie season, and you should try Dr. Earth's organic tomato, vegetable, and herb fertilizer. Here's why. In addition to all its natural nutrients, it contains Dr. Earth's probiotics, 7 champion strains of beneficial soil microbes, plus ecto and endo mycorrhizae. See? Bet you didn't even know what that was. It doesn't matter. They work. And here's a tip. Don't use chlorinated water if you're using Dr. Earth. In fact, it's a good thing not to use chlorinated water on your indoor plants in general. You can take a bucket and fill it up, or I take a milk jug. I take it from the tap if I'm going to do that, and let it sit for 24 hours so some of that can gas off. The microbes in the veggie fertilizer, if you do that, will thank you. Dr. Earth is available only at your local independent garden center. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you.
Hello, gardeners. It's Ann from Neptune's Harvest Organic Fertilizers in Gloucester, Mass. If you're planting flowers, vegetables, shrubs, or just trying to keep your lawn healthy and green, then you should know about Neptune's Harvest. Neptune's Harvest fertilizers come from the mineral-rich North Atlantic Ocean, which contains all the nutrients plants and soil need. flower growers, get your sunglasses out. You'll want to use them when you're looking at how bright those colors are. Vegetable growers, with Neptune's Harvest, you can achieve the amazing results you deserve for all your efforts. You'll have the most abundant, sweet-tasting supply of organically grown produce. And there's nothing like the taste of a fresh garden tomato you grew yourself. Neptune's Harvest works so great, whether you know what you're doing or not, you'll look good and you'll feel good because you're doing the right thing for the environment and your health. Try Neptune's Harvest products from the ocean to set your plants in motion. Available at your local garden center. And to learn more, go to neptunesharvest.com.
So, are all of you gardeners getting used to living in Zone 87? Okay, I'm lying. We're really in Zone 86. No, that's not right either. It's Zone 5. It just feels like Zone 86, but that's Chicago in summer. But if you want to keep your garden happy and well-tended, you need a copy of the July-August issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. For instance, there's an article on the top 10 tomato plant problems, which might save your crop. Speaking of edibles, if you've ever thought about growing peaches, there's a story on how you can do that in our area, complete with a list of the best varieties. And who wants a prairie plant called Veronica, huh? But when you learn that its common name is ironweed, speaking of common names, and that it attracts butterflies, why wouldn't you try one? You'll get the tips on which varieties to plant in your area in the July-August issue of Chicagoland Gardening. And then there's my column on the inside back page. You'll probably be tuckered out from all the learning you've done by the time you get there, but take a look anyway. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is on newsstands all over the area, but I'd advise you to subscribe and have it delivered to your home. Go to Chicagoland Gardening or call 888-265-3600. Okay, I'm going back to the CD roulette. Let's see what we get. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Lori Lewis is in studio from the Sheffield Garden Walk. Nina Neuhauser is also on board from Eco Andersonville, and they're having their big week, Andersonville Green Week, starting tomorrow. So if you live up that way, even if you don't live up that way, you might want to stop by. I bet you welcome strangers, don't you?
Everybody's welcome. We'd love to have them.
Okay. Let's see what we can do here. Let's go to line two and see if we can give away some tickets. And Nancy, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Oh, hi.
Hi. What was your answer for the common name for Brunera?
I told Heather bugloss.
Bugloss. Now, it is called bugloss. I wouldn't consider that a common name. That's the problem. Lori, do you agree with me? I mean, who uses that? Does anybody?
It might be used in Massachusetts as a common name.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'll just give you a small hint. You know what the flower looks like, is that correct?
Yes.
And what does that flower?
Okay, that's all you need to say, because we got. Okay, here's what I'm going to do, Nancy, because I'm in a generous mood today. I am going to send you a gallon of Neptune's Harvest. How's that?
Oh, okay.
As a consolation prize. All right. So you hang on, and you'll talk to Heather in just a second, okay?
Oh, sure. Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Let us go to Donald in Chicago. Donald, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. What is your guess?
I was guessing forget-me-not.
You're oh so close.
I know the real name because I looked it up, but that was what I told to Heather.
Uh-huh. All right, hold on a second. I'm going to put you on hold. Okay. And I'm going to go to line three, Valerie in Montgomery. What is your guess for the common name for Brunera?
I was going to say forget-me-nots also.
Okay. Oh, we're squinting here. Lori's, it's not quite right. You guys are in the ballpark, so here's what I want to do for both of you. Where's Montgomery, Valerie?
Near Aurora.
Would you like a $25 gift certificate to SIDS?
Yes.
All right.
Love it.
All right. You're going to get that. Hang on. And I'm going to go back to Donald. You're so close. How would you like a, let's see, you're in Chicago.
That's correct.
How'd you like a $25 gift certificate to Pesci's?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to do that. You're close. We're in the ballpark, folks. We're trying to give these away. I'm going to put you on hold also. Donald and Valerie are very close. That's all I can say.
I ask them if they know what the common name for Myosotis is. Then they'll say.
Well, you're live. The mic's on. That's okay. Most people don't know what Myosotis is. So, all right. We're still trying to give away those ticks. All right.
Thank you.
So give us a call, 773-838. They were both very close, Donald and Valerie. What's wrong with their answer? And that's what you have to do. I know it's a tough one. These are good ticks. Urban Wildlife now has, and by the way, Heather, when we get a chance, we need to get our next, I know she's taken. I know you're multitasking. It's okay. Got to get our next guest on board here. Urban Wildlife has a new place to call home with the opening of the Nature Boardwalk at Lincoln Park. The 14-acre habitat at the zoo's South Pond is designed to be a slice of prairie in the big city. I got to tell you, I went to the Green City Market last week and wandered over to the South Pond. It's really cool. It's really, what they're doing there is amazing. Though popular for its paddle boat rides, the man-made South Pond had become stagnant and virtually devoid of wildlife. Not anymore. Naturalized slopes and a new island welcome waterfowl and other aquatic wildlife. Prairie plants and more than 100 new trees also help revive the native ecosystem. Enjoy a walking trail around the pond and keep an eye out for black-crowned night herons, yellow-bellied sapsuckers, painted turtles, and more. Also watch for interactive, and it's right in Chicago. It's right there in Lincoln Park. Also watch for interactive displays and special zoo programs interpreting the new habitat. WRD Environmental was part of the South Pond Rehabilitation Team, creating sustainable landscapes since 1997. WRD is a recognized leader in creating eco-friendly settings that bring people and nature together. For sustainable landscape solutions, choose WRD Environmental, WRDEnvironmental.com.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
All right, we got some more people trying it out. Trying to win those tickets to see Chuck Lavelle. It's summer clearance time at Sid's Greenhouse. Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center. Through July 24th, look for the colored dots throughout the store for savings of 30%, 50%, and 70% off on great selection of merchandise for your home and garden. Find the red dots for 30% off, yellow dots for 50%, and for really big savings, blue dots to save 70% off Sid's regular prices. Quantities are limited, and the selection varies by store, so shop early and shop often for the big dot sale savings at Sid's. Summer is also a great time to plant perennials, and Sid's still has a giant selection of flowering perennials for a blast of summer color. They got it all there. Sid's Chicagoland's premier garden centers are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. For hours and directions, visit sidsonline.com. And you might want to know that for you ponders, that means ponds in your yard, the koi trailer from Klobeck, you can't even say that, Klobeck Koi Farms? Wow, Klobeck Koi Farms will be at Sid's Palos Hill store on Saturday, July 17th, featuring fancy and exotic koi specimens for inspection and purpose. All right, let's give away these ticks, Lori. We gotta finally do that, all right? All right, we're gonna try. Let's go to Rick on line two. Rick, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, real good.
All right, great. What's your guess?
Chinese bluebonnet.
Chinese bluebonnet. I have not heard that. That's a good guess, though. I think that's pretty good. How would you like a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine?
It'd be great because the one I won last time just ran out. So,
can I read mines or what? All right. All right. We're going to send you that, Rick. Thank you for calling. Now, between Donald and Bill, who called in?
Donald called earlier, figured out, and called back and got in quick.
Donald, on line one, what is... You're the same Donald called before.
Yes.
I was trying to be honest the first time because I didn't say the complete name the first time.
He did.
Ah.
Because I hung up on him.
You hung up on him?
Well, the conversation was over, so I hung up on him, and he did. He waited, disconnected, and called back.
So, Don, and this go ahead. Give us a name.
False Forget-Me-Not.
All right, you're going to see Chuck Lavelle.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what we needed to get, the false forget-me-not in there. That was, like, the key to that. How you doing?
I'm fine.
It's great. I'm glad you're listening. And what's going on? Doing some Coleus work? Because this is Captain Coleus.
That is correct.
What's going on in the summer? Are you counting, have you encountered any powdery mildew this year?
Not really yet.
Oh. You're lucky.
I think because by the lake, we get more air breeze.
Yeah.
I don't think you do by the parking lot.
That's Donald Choi from, he's also known as Captain Coleus, works at the Lincoln Park Conservatory, and came by it honestly, just called in and got the answer. So you're going to see Chuck Lavelle next Saturday.
Fantastic.
So I'll put you on hold, Don, and Heather will get all that information from you, okay?
Thanks, Mike.
All righty. Great talking to you. Yes, let's go to Bill and Gurney. You also said that, didn't you?
Yes, I did, Mike.
You just got in after him, but I'm going to send you something anyway because, like I said, I'm feeling generous. What haven't we given? What did you heard me give away? That you'd like, Bill?
I need to see your columns in Chicagoland Gardening.
All right, you got yourself a subscription.
All right,
And don't hang up, Bill, because okay. Heather needs to get your information.
All right, thank you.
If you and we need to get. Woody on the phone. We've got just a couple minutes. We've got to get Woody on here. So do that, and then we'll get these guys. Yeah, they'll wait for their prizes, right? If you think that organics are the new kid on the block, consider this. The Espoma Company has been producing high-quality organic and natural products for more than 8 decades, and they just made growing beautiful plants in containers easier and organic, introducing the new Espoma Organic Potting Mix. Espoma is the maker of Holly Tone, Plant Tone, and other organic plant foods. If the word tone is in the name, you know it's made by Espoma. Now they make container growing mixes. Espoma Organic Potting Mix is a blend of only the finest natural ingredients and is fortified with mycotone mycorrhizae. Mycotone promotes root growth, that's what I meant to say, and helps grow bigger, better plants with more blooms. Look for all of the new Espoma Organic Potting Mixes at your local garden center this spring and summer and fall. Here's one more. New Espoma Grow Tone, the ideal liquid plant food for all potted plants. For more information about Espoma Natural Gardening Solutions, call 888-ESPOMA-1 or visit espoma.com. That's ESPOMA.com, Espoma. The leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. Oop, wrong one. No, I didn't want that one. I want this one. The dangers of running your own control board. Winding down here, let us go to line four and bring in. Oh, you there? You okay, Woody?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
That's Dearborn Garden Walk co-chair Woody Olson. Great to talk to you again, Woody.
Yes. Hi, Mike. Nice to talk to you, too. Thank you for the opportunity to spread the word about the 52nd Dearborn Garden Walk.
You know, that's interesting because we got Lori Lowe's here, and they're the 42nd year. You're in your 50. You're one of the oldest garden walks in the country, aren't you?
Well, we really are the oldest garden walk. Of course, we are known because we coined the term garden walk.
You did?
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
We are famous for, and that's part of our historic quality to our event. But yes, a few years they missed garden walk early on. So I'm not quite sure. We always claim to be one of the oldest, but we really termed the coin garden walk. So,
and I hope you're collecting a lot of money for that. But
yes. Well, the money goes back into the neighborhood and to our.
No. What I meant is for the, you know, having copyrighted the phrase.
Oh,
but,
well, yes.
No, but you're right. For your walk, which is next Sunday, and it's only on Sunday, which is one of the different things about your walk.
Yes, it's one day only.
North Dearborn Association puts it on, and you've got a Hollywood-inspired outdoor seating vignettes this year.
Yes, we have eight interior designers, featured interior designers from Chicago, and they are invitational only, and it should be quite interesting. We have the Great Gatsby and on Sunset Boulevard, Breakfast at Tiffany. So we have some really interesting concepts.
Yeah, you've also got 2001: A Space Odyssey. I can hardly imagine what that one's going to be.
Oh, well, it's very interesting. It's a very, very unique theme, and design firm is very unique also.
Now, you can get all this information at DearbornGardenWalk.com. Tickets are, it's $35 if you got them on the day, but you can get them for $30 in advance.
Yes.
And you're going to see some of the most amazing, unique spaces, in anywhere around. I mean, yours, as I said on the website, and I'll get in trouble for it, yours is a little more about art, and the Sheffield is a little more about having a party.
Yes, ours is very, we have classical music in the gardens, and about seven classical music performers in the gardens, along with eight vignettes. And the gardens are walkable. It's from LaSalle over to State, and from Division up to the Cardinals' residence. The Cardinals' residence always participates in the garden walk, and which is very interesting.
And it all starts at what time?
It's from 12 until 5 p.m.
Okay, and I'm sorry, Woody, we're a little short of time, but I want people to head out. All the information is on my website. You
can
sign up there, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
I hope I see you out there.
We hope so. Thank you.
So long. And, Lori, yours is next Saturday and Sunday, and it's like $7, 10 after 3 p.m. Come out to the Sheffield Garden Walk. Eco Andersonville is having the big Green Week all week. Starting tomorrow,
right? Monday through Sunday.
That's Nina Neuhauser. Thank you for being here. Lori, always
Thank
a pleasure
you.
To have you on the show. The picks are up on the site. The Ruby Slippers are on my website. Go to MikeNovak.net. Talk to you next week.